knows where, who knows where? But I'm strong, strong enough to carry him. He ain't heavy.
Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and thank you for joining me again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Now, last week you would have heard a talk by Dr. Miravalli about Our Lady is co-redemptress, and hopefully it'll be one day proclaimed the fifth dogma of the Church. But in this talk today, Dr. Miravalli is talking about Our Lady as mediatrix of mercy. So let's go straight to the talk.
Again, begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the gift of this day, in the gift of divine mercy, you show the full extent of your mercy, which is manifested in the mercy of the Sacred Heart of your Son, our Lord Jesus. We ask you to send the Holy Spirit that we will have a greater understanding of his mercy, the wisdom to receive his mercy, and the grace to become channels of his infinite mercy. We ask this through our Blessed Mother, she who is the mediatrix of mercy. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Saint Joseph, patron of the Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I want to begin by a reading from the diary of Saint Faustina that at first observation seems truly too good to be true. And yet it is the gift that each one of us can receive on this special day. These are the words of our Lord to Saint Faustina. My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces upon those who approach the font of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which grace flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or of angel, will be able to fathom it throughout all eternity. Everything that exists has come forth from the very depths of my most tender mercy. Every soul in its relation to me will I contemplate my love and mercy throughout eternity. The Feast of Mercy emerged from my very depths of tenderness. It is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the font of my mercy. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that God's greatest attribute is mercy. And on this day, who of us would hesitate to receive holy confession, the sacrament of reconciliation and penance, and then receive holy communion to be returned to a level of baptismal purity? It sounds too good to be true, and yet that is infinite mercy. confession, communion, a return to baptismal purity. Now, some of us may be tempted to say, this is good for everyone else. This is understandable, except for me. Except for me because of the sins of my past. The rest of the people here, the rest of the people have had a life of grace and faith, but my sins are so extraordinary. My past is so dark. My mistakes so ubiquitous. Jesus has this to say for you. If you're hearing this promise, you're hearing this gift, but your response is, not in my case. This is also from the diary, the words of Jesus to a soul. He says, my mercy is greater than your sins and those of the entire world. Who can measure the extent of my goodness? For you, I descended from heaven to earth. For you, I allowed myself to be nailed to the cross. For you, I let my sacred heart be pierced with a lance, thus opening wide the source of mercy for you. Come then with trust to draw graces from this fountain. I never reject a contrite sinner and a contrite heart. Your misery has disappeared in the depths of my mercy. Do not argue with me about your wretchedness. You will give me pleasure if you hand over to me all your troubles and grief. I shall heap upon you the treasures of my grace. Child, speak no more of your misery. Be forgotten. Listen, my child, to what I desire to tell you. Come close to my wounds and draw from the fountain of life whatever your heart desires. Drink copiously from the fountain of life, and you will not weary on your journey. Look at the splendors of my mercy and do not fear the enemies of your salvation. Glorify my mercy. Picture a father and a son. Being the father of three sons, there's something about the male gender that likes to block things up, who likes to make dams, who likes to stop water flows. I can't explain this. Perhaps it's original sin or it's just the male characteristic. But if you're with a child, if you're with a son and there's a water flow, there's always the desire to set a little dam. And so picture a father with a very small child, some 4 or 5 years old, next to a huge waterfall. And the waters are cascading over the mountain. And there's the roar of the power of the waters. But the little four-year-old boy says, look, Daddy, I'm going to dam up this great fall. And he takes a little stick, and he puts the stick on the very side of this roaring water. And he's somewhat disappointed when he sees his stick go right off the side. So he gets another stick, maybe a little bit bigger. And he says, Daddy, I'm going to stop this water. And the father says, you can't stop the water, son, but go ahead and try. So the son puts the larger stick down, and once again the water flows over. And a third time, the little four-year-old gets the biggest stick he can drag over, a little piece of branch from a nearby tree. And he again says, I'm going to stop the flow. And the father just smiles. And he puts that larger stump that he pulls over in the water, and almost immediately, it's lost. It's over the edge fall. My friends, sometimes we are that child. Sometimes we think that through our sins, we can stop an infinite waterfall of grace. And we think, but you don't know my sins. You don't know how much I've done wrong. People don't understand me. They don't understand the real me. And Jesus responds, I do. I read your soul. I know your sins. And you have no more ability of stopping my waterfall of mercy any more than a four-year-old child with a stick. You don't have the ontological being to stop the infinite flow of the graces of our Lord. That's what this day represents. It's a day of infinite mercy. We only have to put our sins into this waterfall through the sacrament of confession, and they're gone. So it's a day of infinite power in the mercy of our Lord Jesus. Now, we also see in the Diary of Faustina a great connection between the two great movements of our age. The first movement is the triumph of divine mercy, the time of the forgiveness of sins, because the triumph of divine mercy is a continuation of devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but it's brought powerfully to the present moment for our sins and for our age. And the second great movement is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And they are really two aspects of one movement. Why? Because it's a seeking of mercy and peace. Mercy and peace. The mercy of the heart of Jesus and the peace that can only come into the world through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And John Paul II, in his encyclical on the Blessed Mother, Redemptoris Mater, Mother of the Redeemer, gave us a title for our Blessed Mother that unites these two movements, divine mercy and the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He called the Blessed Mother the Mediatrix of Mercy, especially in preparation for a second coming of Jesus Christ. Powerful words from John Paul the Great. Now let's go to the messages of the Divine Mercy and the message of Fatima and the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart. And we're going to see a very profound similarity. In 1916, an angel came to the children of Fatima. And the angel of Portugal taught the children a prayer to do Eucharistic reparation for the sins of mankind, because God is much offended. Now imagine if he's much offended in 1916, how much offended is he in 2009? And how much more do we have to continue with these prayers of Eucharistic reparation? These are the prayers that the angel of Portugal taught the Fatima children. Quote, "Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences with which he himself is offended. And through the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of you conversion of poor sinners." When I was a young child, I would go into church and I would see typically elderly women with their heads prostrate to the ground in front of the Blessed Sacrament praying these prayers. And I was wondering as a child, why are they doing this and what are they doing? And then my mother let me know that, yeah, they're praying the prayers of Fatima in reparation with their heads down. Why? Because that's an ultimate position of prostration and reverence before our Eucharistic Jesus. Heads down. We're so concerned today about what's the proper posture at various liturgy and masses. Well, if you want to do it the way the angels do it, we'd all have our heads prostrate in the presence of our Eucharistic Jesus. A few years later, Jesus comes to Faustina and gives her this, which we know now as part of the chaplet. "Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for the sins and those of the whole world." Notice the remarkable similarity of these prayers. But what's behind them? Why would the angel of Portugal, why would the Fatima message call for Eucharistic reparation? And why would the message of divine mercy call for the same element? Well, picture the world from the view of the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father looks down and he sees the world, and sadly, tragically, he sees great darkness. And in the midst of the darkness of human rejection, of atheism, of communism, of moral compromise, of the rejection of God, of the rejection of the Holy Father, of the rejection of the moral teachings of the Church, which are only there to protect us and to protect our families and protect our children, he sees great darkness out of these rejections. But in this darkness, over on this side, he sees a ray of light, and it's a powerful ray of light, but it's an individual ray of light. So light comes up here. And over here, he sees another ray of light. And then here, another ray of light. So that through the darkness, there's these little rays of light. What are those rays? That's every time the priest offers the sacrifice of the Mass.
Okay, we've just gone past 3 o'clock, Divine Mercy time. And Dr. Miravalli was talking about, of course, that beautiful chaplet of Divine Mercy that our Lord gave Saint Faustina, a wonderful prayer, particularly if somebody is dying. Our Lord promised to stand between the dying person and his Father, the just judge, as a merciful Saviour. So every week we do a shortened inversion of this. So if you think you're one of those people whose sins can never be forgiven, be rest assured that God can forgive your sins, and he wants to forgive your sins. So you don't have to be a Catholic, but you can just listen along to this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and light everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there's a fantastic organisation in New Zealand, based in Auckland, Family Life International. You can give them a ring on 0274 488 070, 0274 488 070, and they will have someone at the end of the line who will be able to talk through some of the issues you're facing and to make a plan to help you and your baby. So let's get straight back to Dr. Mirav.
And over here he sees another ray of light. And then here another ray of light. So that through the darkness there's these little rays of light. What are those rays? That's every time the priest offers the sacrifice of the Mass. Because, my friends, the sacrifice of the Mass is the priest in the place of Jesus saying, Heavenly Father, in light of the sufferings of Jesus, in light of his precious blood, do not respond to us in justice, respond to us in mercy. And that's what the Father prefers. But remember, justice is a true attribute. Justice is a true virtue. And so the Father prefers to respond to us in mercy, but without those rays of light, without the offering of the sacrifice of the Mass, he must respond in justice. So as he looks out and sees the darkness, and he sees priests offering the sacrifice of the Mass, offering Jesus to the Father, which is the means by which we have mercy, he sees that the 20th century and the 21st century will have even greater darkness. And therefore, sadly, the 20th century and 21st century perhaps will have even less priests. And so he calls on the laity. He calls on you and me, in virtue of our baptism, to commence a process, a powerful mystical process of offering Jesus in the Eucharist, already consecrated, for the same goal, for mercy. And so what happens in the prayers of Fatima, and what happens when you pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy? What you're doing is you're offering the Eucharistic Jesus, present in all the tabernacles of the world, back to the Father, so that you're adding to the light. Now, it's not as powerful as the priestly sacrifice. We know that. And it presupposes the priestly sacrifice, because we have to have Eucharist to offer. We can't consecrate. Only our beloved priests can consecrate. But once the Eucharist is consecrated, then it's up to us to offer Jesus and Eucharist back to the Father, so more light comes up to him. More of the darkness dissipates. And the greatest thing we can offer is our Eucharistic Jesus. That's why at Fatima and in Divine Mercy, we have this prayer. We're offering the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, present in all the tabernacles of the world, back to the Father so he can respond in mercy, which is his preference. And so do we see the power of the Eucharist? Secondly, do we see the power of the priesthood? You know, there's in certainly in the West, and I don't know the situation here, but there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of press about the difficulties of priesthood, about certain failings of a tiny percentage of priests. My friends, we must always thank God for the gift of holy priesthood. We must always thank our priests for the gift of themselves. We must not look at the 1.5% of difficulty. We must rejoice and thank God for the almost 99% of faithful, holy priests that give us baptism, that give us Eucharist, that forgive us our sins, that become channels of mercy for us, that anoint us, that bury our dead. That's the power of priesthood. We must always praise priesthood. We must always thank God for priesthood. And secondly, we must do our part to offer, in virtue of the priesthood of the laity, to offer Jesus back to the Father. And this is our time. This is the power of the Feast of Mercy. And there's another dimension where we see the power of mercy, and that is, of course, with our Blessed Mother. We spoke about, at length yesterday, the call for a proclamation, for a solemn papal definition of the true doctrine that Mary is the spiritual mother of all peoples, the co-redemptrix, the mediatrix, and advocate. It is already a teaching of the Church, but when the Holy Father, who has the keys of the kingdom of God, when he solemnly proclaims this truth to the world, then what happens to us personally when we consecrate ourselves to our Blessed Mother? And what happens to us personally when we do things like today, when we experience the mercy of Divine Mercy Sunday, what happens to us personally will become glory.
Okay, run short of time again. Please tune in next week and we'll hear more about Divine Mercy. Knows where.